Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are in some very interesting times. Very, very, very interesting times. And strange times. Good times and some crazy times. But we are in some interesting times. You know, I just want to say thank you to everybody because, you know, you are among some of the smartest people in the world. How do I know this? You know, there's a saying, birds of a feather flock together. If you ever wondered what that means, you know, eagles fly with eagles, owls fly with owls, chickens hang out with chickens, turkeys hang out with turkeys, hummingbirds hum together. So birds of a feather flock together. Geese hang out with other geese, or is it gooses? Whatever. Ducks hang out with ducks. A quail hang out with quail. So in this case, brilliant people hang out with brilliant people. Why do you listen to this podcast? Because you are brilliant. And what I really appreciate about your brilliance is that proves that I'm brilliant. Hey, see how that works? Birds of a feather flock together. Or brilliant minds come together. That just lacked the luster, didn't it? Just birds of a feather flock together, brilliant mind. No, we'll have to think of something better. But you get the point, ladies and gentlemen. You get the point. So thank you for tuning in. And greetings to all you moms, dads, ladies and gentlemen, and children, boys and girls, in-laws, outlaws, and everybody and anybody. I just thank you for tuning in. You're about to learn some things. And, you know, if, for this podcast, you're allowed, you know, to throw things. You're allowed to yell. You're allowed to scream. You're allowed to get mad with me when I get mad. You're allowed to laugh with me when I laugh. Or you're allowed to just sit there and agree, because I know you will agree, because brilliant people do that. They agree with other people that are brilliant. So, with that, I do want to make a quick announcement for those of you who live in or near the Antelope Valley area, Palmdale, Lancaster. This Sunday, July 7th, we're going to have Apostle Rion Delange from South Africa, a good friend of mine. He's coming in. He'll be ministering at the church. Going to be a powerful ministry. He's greatly, greatly anointed. Has great revelation. Very, very prophetic, by the way. And then we're going to have a phenomenal time with him. So please come on in. And he'll be with us also Tuesday, July 9th. So you can make one. You can make both. I highly suggest you make both, because it's going to be a great time. And he's going to be here for our 4th of July, you know, which is interesting because being from South Africa, he has a great love for America. As a matter of fact, he's more patriotic than a lot of Americans I know. And at his home in South Africa, he and some others that are like-minded with him, they fly the American flag and they're big Trump supporters. Isn't it interesting that people in Africa understand the importance of the United States of America having the correct president? And they are totally against Biden and the Democrat Party and completely for Trump and what he stands for. And that's interesting because, like I said, you know, we get people, and this is a gentleman from Africa, ladies and gentlemen, that knows more about our American politics than most Americans. And to my own shame, he is, you know, talked to me about certain things going on in our own politics that I had no idea. Because they stay up on it. So, you know, very interesting, profound gentleman. He's going to bring a great word. And not just a word. It's not just about hearing another sermon, ladies and gentlemen. Because I'll be honest with you, anybody that really knows me knows that I am kind of done with just hearing another sermon. You know, don't get me wrong. Preaching is still very important because it's in the Bible. It's very, very important. We have to preach. I'm just against that next sermon because I told a room full of pastors this one time that I told them, I don't suggest you doing this. Don't try this at home, boys and girls. But I told a room full of pastors that our sermon, I said ours because I'm a preacher. I said, our sermons are virtually worthless. I said, we've been preaching for years and years and years, and our sermons have amounted to nothing but a hill of beans. And if you got some beans for your sermons, great, then, you know, I didn't. And I told him why. I said, because listen, of all the millions of sermons that are preached every year, and the world's getting worse. So how is it that if our sermons, the sermon itself, that 45 minutes to an hour of preaching and ministering, fiery, spit flying, red face, vein popping out in the forehead, or if it's just a calm, cool, it doesn't matter. It's not doing much. When you really weigh it out. Now, before anybody says, yeah, because of that, I'm not going to church. Stop. Because the Bible tells you to go to church. The Bible tells you to come together. The Bible tells you to be with other believers. So you can't just check out because of this reality. Instead, what we should do, ladies and gentlemen, and I work on doing this myself, is not just give another sermon that's going to get a few hands to clap, but how about delivering a message that's laced with the power of God to change a person's life? You see, we as preachers, often we are more concerned about how is this going to be received? Am I going to get some applause? Is this going to wow the people? And so that what that amounts to is just basically hype. What we should be doing is, number one, God, what do you say? What do you want me to preach? And then if we preach what God is saying, God will never tell us to preach something, prophesy something, speak something that doesn't have his power attached to it. So if I speak on healing, how many sermons of healing are there, or have they been? And maybe that I even preached with not one person being healed afterwards. Well, see, that's just a sermon. That's just a speech. Versus how many sermons have there been on preaching or the power of God, and somebody's life was directly changed because the power of God was attached to that sermon. And that's where we should be after, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we should be doing as a church and as church leaders. Not be after another sermon. I can get a sermon that will wow the people, but all I'm doing is stroking their ego or speaking to their soul. It's similar to, you know, being a comedian and telling a funny joke and getting somebody to laugh. Well, that's what comedians do. They just touched an area of their soul. Or being a great, you know, linguist, somebody who can speak very well and can say something that's sad and cause people to cry. Well, you just hit something in their soul. I want to get down to the spirit. I want to speak words that pierce through the soul and into the spirit and change a person's life from the core of their being. And is that possible? Of course. The Word of God itself says that the Word of God is living, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can sever or cut down or pierce down even to the division of soul and spirit. Just like a knife can go through a bone and muscle and ligament, the Word of God can even go to the separation or to the piercing of soul and spirit. Well, that's where we should be, ladies and gentlemen. Every time a preacher stands up, it should be life-changing. And somebody should be walking out of that church radically changed. I was the other day, somebody told me that, you know, every time, you know, she said it like this. Yeah, the church I go to, she goes to my church. The church I go to, the pastor, every time he preaches, it's as if he's preaching straight to me, you know. And sometimes it makes me feel good, but sometimes it's uncomfortable because it's like he knows everything. Well, that was me. That was a lady in my church. And it's not that I know everything, but I know God. It's not that I follow her to get dirt on her or try to figure out what can I say to pierce her heart. I follow after God, and he knows how to put his words in my mouth to affect the people in my church. That's the way it's supposed to work, ladies and gentlemen. You know, that's why it bothers me when I hear of pastors and preachers and they go to sermon.com, I think that's actually a site, or something like that, and get their sermons off the internet or from a book. They pay for some type of subscription and they get a sermon outline sent to their door every Saturday, you know, type of thing. And I remember having that conversation with a pastor a long time ago. He says, so what curriculum do you use when you preach? And it caught me off guard because curriculum, because I think of curriculum like when you're in a school. I go, curriculum? And I smile. I go, Bible and Holy Spirit. And he goes, no, I mean like a curriculum. And then he started telling me, yeah, I use this guy's curriculum, and I have this book and that book. He's talking about getting his Sunday sermons from all these different, you know, curriculums. And I said, oh. She goes, what do you use? And I said, well, really, honestly, just Holy Spirit and Bible. I pray until I have direction, until I feel God speaking to me or giving me some kind of a direction. And sometimes it's one 45-minute or an hour-long sermon. Sometimes it's an entire series that can go weeks and weeks and weeks, you know, and it comes different ways, but generally speaking, it's prayer, Holy Spirit, Bible. And it's strange to me when I find these other pastors that don't do it that way, and I'm not saying it's necessary. It's not sin, ladies and gentlemen. I will say this. It's secondary. Getting your sermon straight from Holy Spirit is much better than getting it from somebody else that you don't know whether they heard Holy Spirit or not. And I'm assuming they did, but you're still giving them secondhand sermons, you know? So anyways, says something to think about, ladies and gentlemen. That has nothing to do with what I really wanted to talk about, because I'm going to read to you another article. So that first one was a freebie, and as I tell people at church, when, you know, I say something like that that's not in my notes, I tell everybody that's a freebie, but if you found value in it, there is the offering box over there. I'm having fun with it, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope that you know that and everybody else knows that. So, anyways, this is, again, from Daily Wire, and it was published July 1st. So yesterday, July 1st, 2024, by Katie Jerkovich in the Daily Wire. And the title of this is, Jill Biden reacts to husband's poor debate performance. Says she won't let those 90 minutes define presidency. You know, and I was going to talk about the actual debate, but by now I think most everybody knows about the debate, has already formed their opinion, and I think 99.99% of all of America knows that, whether you like him or not, this is just the fact, Donald Trump mopped the floor with Joe Biden. And Joe Biden, I actually, you know, I feel sorry for Joe Biden at this point. Now, don't get me wrong, he's still a terrible president. I want him out of there. He needs to be out of there. For a lot of reasons, and now one of the reasons included of why he needs to be out of there is the fact that he is so mentally off and unstable. He's showing signs of dementia or something very close to dementia. And if he can't even do a 90-minute debate and put his sentences together and have his thoughts together, he certainly is not qualified to run this country. Now, here's the problem that I see with people. Like I said, 99.99% of all Americans will agree with that. The other 0.01%, and honestly, I don't know the actual percentage points on these things. I'm just having fun with it, ladies and gentlemen. But those people that are still supporting Biden, even over Trump, I never thought that mental illness can be contagious, but I'm beginning to realize that mental illness truly is contagious. That when you follow, agree with, or you're around mentally ill people, those people become mentally ill. So in a very real way, it's contagious. Now, maybe not in the same manner that, you know, the passing on of germs of a virus is contagious, but nonetheless, it's contagious. You hang out with people with mental illness, ladies and gentlemen, it isn't long until you yourself are mentally ill. And, well, I hate to say it, but we look at Joe Biden and the condition that he's in, and clearly has something going on. Either it's actual dementia or something very close to it. And we say, you know, he needs to go. And a lot of the Democrats are saying now, we need to replace Democrat Joe Biden with another Democrat to run against Trump. But ladies and gentlemen, never forget this. Oh, come on. I don't know why, when it comes to these things, so many people, it's like they choose to blind themselves to the truth. Joe Biden is just the manifestation of a deeper problem. It's not just Joe Biden with dementia or mental illness. It's the entire group he's associated with, the Democrat Party. I mean, look, any of you that have any kind of common sense at all, look at what the Democrat Party has been supporting. Okay, let's just talk about the LGBT thing going right now, because we just had this, you know, they call it Pride Month for the LGBT. I don't know what any of them did to be so proud, but whatever. Just for argument's sake, I couldn't be proud of it. I'm certainly not proud of it that is happening in my country. But nonetheless, just do a little bit of research and just type in, you know, on the internet, and be very, very careful with this. Don't have your children around. And if you have a problem with pornography or something, lust problems, don't do this. But you can just type in LGBT Pride Parade. Boom. And images and pictures and stories will be coming up of some of the most perverse, disgusting, vile, wicked people, mindsets, actions that you can imagine. And they want everybody to accept it as normal. As a matter of fact, my wife and I was in beautiful Santa Barbara a few weeks ago. And it was our day off, and we just tried to get out of town, and it's really hot right now. So we tried to get somewhere a little bit cooler, somewhere where we can just kind of, you know, unwind for a few hours. And we were in beautiful Santa Barbara. walking down the street. I think I had an ice cream in my hand, like I normally do. Me and Joe Biden do have that in common. We both like ice cream. So I give him a little bit of a pass just because he likes ice cream. But nonetheless, we're walking down the street. And here's this young lady. She was on rollerblades, I believe it was. Rollerblades or roller skates. Rollerblades, I think it was. In kind of like, like booty shorts. It's all the only way I know how to describe it. Tight booty shorts. Without a top on. And she just had those little, what do they call them? Pasties over, Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not so prude. I wouldn't mind saying it. But there might be children around, and I don't want to create some kind of image in your kids. So I think you understand, these little... And anyways, these pasties are also like flesh tones. So it's almost like she was... Like it was just, nothing. There was... And she had woven into her hair. She had like a brunette hair, but woven into her hair was a bunch of different color, like... ribbons, like purple ribbon, green ribbon, red ribbon, yellow ribbon. So she had that rainbow in her hair. And she had the pride flag that she was holding up as she skated down the street with this pride flag, her tatas bouncing around with pasties on them and booty shorts and rainbow ribbons in her hair. And I looked at that and I was so disgusted with the vileness of it because she didn't care. That children were around. She didn't care if she offended anybody with that. She didn't care. And I don't know why, ladies and gentlemen. This is just a side note. She wasn't very good looking at all. So it wasn't like anybody that looked over there wasn't looking like, hey, look at that cutie. Look at that doll. Look at that hot one. Hey. Wasn't like that at all. They were over there looking at her in disgust, not only at the disgusting display that she put on with all of this stuff going on, but also, being indecently exposed. And I really wish that the Santa Barbara Police Department had some, courage, I'll put it that way, to just go down there and bust her and haul her away for indecent exposure. Because if I had children, I wouldn't want my kids there, And if that was a guy doing something very similar, especially if I had children, I probably would have stopped him. And then I would be the one that's in the paddy wagon with the Santa Barbara police. But anyways, so I'm looking at this. I'm disgusted with it. People are coming out of the shops looking at it, and not one person was happy with what she was doing. I didn't even point it out to my wife. I don't even know if she caught it. I don't even know. Because I didn't point it out to my wife because we're just walking down the street. I think she was eating something. I certainly had ice cream, and she had her little dog, and we were doing some window shopping. And I saw it. I didn't even tell her because I didn't even want her to see that vileness. But I did notice people coming out of the shops and looking at it and pointing, and like none of them were looking on with it, like they agreed with it, like they liked it. Everybody was disgusted with it. So it caught me thinking. They call it LGBT pride or gay pride, whatever it is, pervert pride. What do they have to be proud of? That woman pretty much showed, 99% of her body to everybody was on display. And I can tell you, if she was proud of that, she needs to go back to the mirror and go back to a sense of reality. But what do they have to be proud of? I mean, honestly, really, I don't understand this. What? And this is a question that many people are beginning to ask. And nobody's been able to really answer it. LGBT pride, what do you have to be proud of? Gay pride, what do you have to be proud of? Of the fact that I'm gay. Well, you know what? I'm straight. I'm not proud of it. Do you know why I'm not proud of it? Because here's the funny thing, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't work hard and overcome obstacles to be straight. I was born this way. Gay people claim they were born that way. Well, if you were born that way, you had no choice in it. There's nothing to be proud of. So if you're going to try to convince me to be proud of something you are, or that you're proud of something you are, then that means it is a choice. And in your mind, you overcame obstacles to become that, hence your pride. Do you see? Oh my gosh, ladies and gentlemen, why aren't more people just thinking this through and landing in the area of common sense? That if you're going to have gay pride, then that tells me homosexuality is a choice. You are not born that way. If you're going to have LGBT pride, that means you chose to be that. You weren't born that way. It's the same way it would be like white pride. I didn't choose this. I was born this way. So if I'm going to say white pride, you know how stupid that is? I didn't overcome some obstacle to get this skin color. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. So anyways, now I said all of that nonsense to say, what we see in Joe Biden and his apparent dementia or his mental decline is not, it's not about Joe Biden really, ladies and gentlemen. He is just the face of the Democrat Party. That's it. So to say something like we need to replace Joe with another Democrat, it's like, okay, you're going to replace mental illness with more mental illness? Because that's what the entire Democrat Party has become. And to say Joe is off, we need to replace him with another Democrat, is to say we're just going to replace one level of crazy with another level of crazy. We're gonna exchange one perversion for another perversion. It's ridiculous, ladies and gentlemen. Many, many years ago, there was a gentleman by the name of Carmen. Well, he passed away just a few years ago, but he was a Christian singer, gospel singer, entertainer, preacher, minister. And he had this song, and this goes way back when I was a much younger man, and I had more hair on my head. But in the song, he talked about how the homosexuals, instead of cleaning the closet, they're coming out of the closet. And I forget the exact words in that song, but it always stuck with me all those years. And it's like, yeah, stop worrying about coming out of the closet or figuring out how or when or why to come out of the closet. Clean it! And we know, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know because you're brilliant. But these homosexuals who have chosen that lifestyle, they also know that it is a choice. And they're trying to convince themselves, and they're trying to convince you, and they're trying to convince everybody else that no, it's not a choice. I have no choice in the matter. Yes, you... Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not even going to touch how they feel inside, okay? I won't even touch that. But let's face it. Let's just be honest. Anybody listening to me right now, regardless of what you claim to be, heterosexual, homosexual, whatever sexual, who you do the deed with is a choice. If you're a man and you do the deed with another man, that's your choice. You chose to do that. If you're a woman and you do the deed with another woman, that's your choice. That's your choice. If a man finds a beautiful woman and hopefully marries her and then does the deed with her, that's his choice. Put the feelings aside for just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. The action of heterosexuality is the choice of those two heterosexual straight people coming together. The action of homosexuality is the choice of two struggling people coming together. Come on, and anybody with half a brain can understand that. Yeah, it is a choice, at least the action part. So if you understand that the action of heterosexuality, the action of homosexuality is a choice, then you got to understand that in many ways, the feelings that accompany or go against those choices, in large part, are a choice as well. Let me give you an example. Recently, somebody did some terrible things to me. Terrible things to me. Lied about me. Cheated. Called me names. And I felt angry inside. I felt confused because of who it was that did this. I felt hurt. I felt, I'm not going to lie, like retaliating and revenge. That's how I felt. That's how I felt, ladies and gentlemen. That was the emotion inside. Those were the feelings coursing through my body. Those were the words speaking to my soul. They called you a name. You go call them a name. They lied about you. You can tell the truth and make it be just as bad. All of these things. But I chose not to act upon those things physically, but that didn't make the feelings go away. But I chose to process the feelings and then change the feelings so that I wouldn't even be in any way motivated on any level to act upon those feelings. Why? Because those feelings didn't exist anymore. Because I worked to change them. It was my choice. Do you see how that works, ladies and gentlemen? Do you see how that works? Do you see how that works? Every one of you can attest to this. Every one of you listening to this knows that something happened to you at some point. It could have been yesterday. It could have been 20 years ago. And it caused certain feelings to arise in you. But you knew that you couldn't act upon those feelings. So you chose to act in a different manner than what your feelings were telling you. And then many of you worked on those feelings. You chose to work on those feelings and even change those feelings so that those feelings wouldn't be there, so you would never act upon them again. See, I don't understand how this is. So anyways, back to this article. I know I'm on a little bit of a rant, but I think some of that really needed to be talked about because, you know what, there's not enough thinkers out there that just, I know, not you. You guys are the brilliant ones, the thinkers. You stop and think. You meditate on these things and come up with some brilliant analysis. But not enough people in America do that because there's still Democrats that are saying, yeah, we need to replace Joe because he's showing signs of mental illness. Let's get another Democrat in there. Well, the whole party is mental right now. So you have people with mental issues trying to replace somebody with mental issues with another person with mental issues. And then you wonder why the party is getting more and more wicked, perverse, and corrupt. It's a strange thing to watch. Anyways, back to this article. I haven't even begun to read it. Again, this is Jill Biden reacts to husband's poor debate performance, says she won't let those 90 minutes define presidency. I'm sorry, Miss Biden, but it's too late. What we saw on that debate stage and what we heard with our own ears and we saw with our own eyes, that's been Joe Biden's entire presidency. I almost said predator. Well, he's kind of that too, but that is his whole presidency. It says, Jill Biden reacted to her husband, President Joe Biden's disastrous first presidential debate with former President Donald Trump and said she won't let those 90 minutes define the current administration. The First Lady's comments appeared in a glossy cover story that dropped on Monday for the cover of Vogue August issue amid panic by Democrats about Joe Biden staying in the race after he stumbled, rambled, and froze numerous times during the 90-minute CNN face-off last week. The Biden family will not let those 90 minutes define the 4 years he's been president, the First Lady told the outlet by phone following the debate. We will continue to fight, she added, telling the outlet that Biden will always do what's best for this country. No, if he did, Jill, honey, little honey boo-boo Jill. No, he hasn't done one thing good for this country his entire career, his political career. He will continue to fight and always do his best for this country. When's he going to start? Because if he did, we wouldn't be paying. Do you know some places, gasoline, where I'm at or near where I'm at, is upwards of $7. Most places, it's right around $5. It bounces between like $4.79 and $5.29 is the normal rate, and it bounces so crazy. If Joe Biden always does what's good for the country, then why are my food prices so high? Check this out, ladies and gentlemen. My wife and I went down and had a sit-down dinner in a restaurant. What restaurant was it? I can't even remember what restaurant it was. But it didn't matter because it wasn't about the food as much as it was about the bill. Oh, I remember. Hopefully I can say this. Well, I'm giving them a plug. We went to the Olive Garden for lunch yesterday, and I ordered off their lunch menu. I had lasagna. I had the salad. We had the bread sticks. I ate a little bit, finished up some of my wife's soup. We left satisfied. And my wife had the soup and the salad and the bread sticks and everything. She left satisfied. Do you know it was cheaper for us to go to Olive Garden than it was to go to one of the burger joints in town, fast food? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it was. And we were commenting about that, how messed up our whole system is because of Democrats. Here they're paying, is it $20 an hour now just to flip burgers and fast food, which drove the prices up crazy. And so it's cheaper sometimes, not all, I'm not going to say always, but it's cheaper sometimes to go to a nice sit-down restaurant than it is to go to a fast food place because of all this nonsense. That's Democrat policy. And that's directly linked to Joe Biden and his policies. He doesn't understand international or national level economics. And it's proven. When you go to the store and you're paying way more money for your food and you go to the gas station, you're paying way more money for your gas, and everything is super expensive now, that's directly linked to Joe Biden. And here in California, Gavin Newsom. You put those two knuckleheads together, oh my gosh. Anyways, so automatically she is saying he'll always do what's best for this country. Well, when's he going to start? I mean, honestly, when is he going to begin doing what's best for this country? He hasn't done it yet, and he's got so much dementia that he's not doing anything for this country. As a matter of fact, everybody knows this, ladies and gentlemen. He's a puppet, and no matter what person they replace him with, and trust me, they will replace Joe Biden with somebody to run for president as a Democrat. They will replace him before that November election, but whoever it is nothing more than a puppet. A puppet. That's all Joe Biden's been. Anyways, this article goes on to say, Joe Biden also talked about how people struggled emotionally, financially, and socially during the COVID-19 pandemic and wants things to improve quickly. See, that doesn't even make sense. This is what Jill Biden is saying. We're far beyond that. And it was her husband, primarily, and that party that brought this country and thus most of the world to a screeching halt. The reason people struggled emotionally, financially, and socially was because of her husband. So I ask again, when is he going to do what's best for this country? Anyways, let me say this. Things are still getting better. It takes time to stand things up again, she said. Excuses for failed policies. Look, I know that food prices are up, the First Lady added. I go to the grocery store when I'm in Washington. No, she doesn't. The Bidens are such liars. She doesn't go to the grocery store. The only time she will go to the grocery store is for a photo op. She doesn't go there for her weekly shopping. She's a liar. The First Lady added, I go to the grocery store when I'm in Washington, D.C., and I raised 3 kids and did the food shopping for how many years before we got to this job? It's not like I don't know. No, you do know, and you don't care. Now you're just saying these things to try to act like you know and you care. Clay Travis, this is in the article, this gentleman Clay Travis, this is a post on X, which used to be Twitter, and he writes, who is Clay Travis, by the way? Anyways, this is the person that says this. Jill Biden, who has been covering up for her husband's dementia for years and is guilty of elder abuse, is on the cover of Vogue for July. This is why she and Hunter won't tell him to step down. They won't matter the minute he says he isn't running. I have to agree with that. Jill Biden is one of the most wicked, evil people that I have ever had a chance to watch or hear or listen to. She is the First Lady. She is married to President Joe Biden. Joe Biden is a train wreck of a president, and it was seen at that debate. He is clearly dealing with dementia, some mental issues. He is off to the point that the only people that support him are the people that feel sorry for him. And what does she do? She keeps parading him and speaking to him and speaking of him as if he's got all of his marbles. She doesn't care enough about him to convince him to resign. She doesn't care about him. She doesn't care at all about him. What she cares about is what it does for her and what Hunter gets out of it. That's all they care about, because they will be completely irrelevant if he doesn't run. And when he loses in November and they have to step out of the White House, she will be completely irrelevant, and she knows it. Why? Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad that Jill Biden has not earned anything herself? The only reason anybody even knows about Jill Biden is because of Joe Biden. So she is using her old, elderly husband who's facing dementia or some other deeply disturbing mental issue as a way for herself to look important. This is elder abuse. This is truly elder abuse. And you know who's also complicit in this? The whole Democrat Party. They don't care about Joe. They don't care about you and me. All they care about is themselves. Ugh. Anyways, let me finish this. It says, the Vogue cover story prompted discussion on social media. Megyn Kelly, who hosts Megyn Kelly's show podcast, claimed it was proof that Jill Biden is out for her own power. The problem is that all the Democrats' hopes come down to what this woman wants, Kelly said. All of them. Jill Biden turns out to be a bit of a grifter. She's power hungry. She's like Hillary Clinton. She's not a Laura Bush. She's not a Melania Trump. She's not somebody who's just there to support her husband, she added. She seems to be like somebody who was out for her own power and can't let go. Ladies and gentlemen, I totally agree with this. Let me finish this article. It says, the New York Times' Nicholas Kristof told CNN he hopes Jill Biden and family are thinking not only about Joe Biden's interests, but about the nation's interests. So check this out. New York Times, which is really basically comes down to a very left-leaning liberal rag. One of their writers, is it a writer or it doesn't matter. Nicholas Kristof of the New York Times says he hopes that Jill Biden and the family are thinking not only of Joe Biden, his interests, but about the nation's interests. The liberals are starting to turn on him, turn on her, and rightfully so. But Nicholas, who are you going to replace him with? All of you are nuts. Anyways, says he also compared Biden's remaining in the race to the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's decision to stay in her seat instead of retiring towards the end of her life. Trump went on to get a third justice on the high court, Amy Coney Barrett, after Ginsburg's death in 2020. Newsmax Rob Schmidt wrote on X, nice puff piece on the most valueless person in America and her bid to keep her corpse-like husband into the White House to stay relevant. Wow. Now, that's rough, but it's true. Outkicks Clay Travis. Oh, I guess that's the guy who wrote that. Clay Travis. Let me see. Yeah. So he's a part of Outkicks. I don't know what that is. I think that's another newspaper or something of that nature. Outkicks Clay Travis wrote to his followers on X, Jill Biden, who has been covering up her husband's dementia for years and is guilty of elder abuse. Oh, I already read that. Is on the cover of Vogue for August. This is why she and Hunter won't tell him to step down. They won't matter the minute he says he isn't running. Well, Hunter, I agree. He won't really matter in the sense of nobody's gonna know or care about him. He's gone. But I think Hunter has other things. His daddy and his daddy's position, Uncle Joe, is keeping him out of prison, at least up to this point. Now, I know he's been convicted on something, and it's, I don't know, it's still in court and all that. But, you know, I think Hunter is shaking in his boots that if Trump gets in and his daddy doesn't, he is going to spend some time behind bars. And, you know, not that I'm for this, but I honestly, at this point, I couldn't blame Trump. If he got into office and just started, you know, doing everything to get back at his political opponents. I'm not saying that's right. Please don't misunderstand me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying it's right. I disagree with it, and I hope that he doesn't. But at the same time, what they put him through since he ran, what was that, 2016, you know, election? Since the moment he started running and started gaining traction, they have been after him to ruin him and ruin his life. And what he's been through, I wouldn't put it past him, and I couldn't really hold it against him too much. Other than this, I would hold it against him in this sense. He's the president of the United States, and as the president of the United States, he's supposed to rise above all of that nonsense for the good of the nation. And I pray to God that he does. I do pray to God that he does, because we've watched what happens when people like Joe and the Democrats aren't able to put the American people first, but when they put their own wants and desires first and their own hatred for somebody first. We watch what happens. You know, all of these charges against Trump that have just been trumped up, no pun intended, is nonsense. And isn't it funny? And the people, the American people could see through it. Every time they would take him to court, Trump's numbers would increase. You would think they would get a hint. And I just told somebody the other day, I said, for him, the person, I hope this doesn't happen, but for the good of the nation, I kind of hope that they do put Trump behind bars. He won't be there long, and it'll be a federal prison, so it'll be a nice place as far as prisons go, because there will be absolutely no way he would lose in November if they actually were able to put a mugshot of him or a shot of him literally in a jail cell in his from orange hair, orange skin, and then an orange jumpsuit. Because when they convicted him on all 34 counts, ladies and gentlemen, which was absolutely ridiculous and stupid to anybody that even halfway understands what was really going on, his numbers jumped. After this last debate, his numbers jumped, including among Democrats. Because many in the Democrat Party are even sickened of what their own party is doing to Trump, because they realize If you can weaponize the justice system against one man, you can weaponize the justice system against anybody and everybody. This should get each and every one of us who claim to be American up in arms. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just, you know what? We live in some funny times and strange times. When you do a little research, and you don't even have to do much, what caused the Revolutionary War? Well, it was this same kind of behavior that was coming from the King of England to those who established the colonies in the New World, which has become now the United States of America. They raised taxes. They were putting harsh, I'm not going to say treatment, but laws and taxes and stuff on the people. And the people said, enough's enough. We already came all the way over here to get away from that. We didn't want to bring it over here, so we'll fight you. I'm just wondering, what's it going to take here to, because our government now, our presidents, Congress, and all of them are far more tyrannical and wicked than, on the people, than what the people here in the United States were dealing with the King of England before the Revolutionary War. Yeah, do it. I think somebody said, yeah, they tried to put a 2% tax on the people and they were willing to go to war for it. And now what do we have? I mean, I'm in California where everything is taxed. Absolutely everything. As a matter of fact, just heard, we're going to be even paying more money at the gas pump because Gavin Newsom just raised the tax on gasoline yet again. So whatever you were paying before, get ready to pay even more. What's it going to take, ladies and gentlemen? You and I have the power to change everything. And yet too many people are sitting on their hands wondering about Joe Biden and who's going to replace him. I don't know. Maybe we should have another revolution. Now, before anybody goes off and calling the FBI on me, you can if you want. I have nothing to hide. There's a revolution that should be first tried, if you will, to use that lingo, at the voting booth. And as long as you vote Democrat, you're continually voting for people that are going to put you under their thumb. That's just the way it is. And many Republicans as well. But certainly, every Democrat, many Republicans. So if we can't get it done at the voting booth, then we're going to have to take stronger measures. But when you have people, parents, that sit back and complain about what they're teaching in their schools and what they're pushing on their children, this LGBT garbage and everything, but won't even show up to a parents meeting, won't even show up to a school board meeting. Even if I were to say, call to arms, go get all your guns, we're going to march on the Capitol. There would be three of us. There would be three. And everybody else would be sitting at home going, yeah, that's right. Good for them. March on the Capitol. Uh-huh. Let's change some things. Oh, wait, Oprah's on. Let me turn to Oprah. Come on. I don't know what happened to America. Many of us here have lost our backbone and are willing to fight. We won't even stand up. We won't even let our voices be heard at a school board meeting. So I'm not worried about guns going off. I'm not worried about an armed revolution. Chances of that happening are slim to zero. Why? Because most Americans won't even get up off their couch to write a letter, an email, or make a phone call when something's going crazy. So I'm not worried about it. I mean, I'm disappointed. Absolutely, but not concerned. Anyway, so back to this, ladies and gentlemen. I know I was all over the place a little bit today, but whatever. It's okay. Life is good. But it's going to be interesting to see what the Democrat Party does to replace Joe. Some people, now I'm thinking Michelle Obama, they're going to try to sneak her in. And they're probably going to try to do it at the very last minute. For like shock value. Some say Hillary, and some say even Gavin Newsom. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, either one of those three are unbearably embarrassing for America and should be embarrassing for the Democrat Party, but they know no shame. If men in dresses, wearing makeup, okay, dancing around, even going to the White House to meet Kamala Harris, yes, that happened, ladies and gentlemen, isn't shameful to them? Well, anything that Hillary's done or said, or anything that Obama has done or said, or anything that Gavin Newsom has done or said, certainly isn't shameful to them. They have no shame. You know where they feel shame? In righteousness. Like in the Word of God, in the Bible. Did you know that our very own Joe Biden was mocking Trump for standing on the Word of God, the Bible? And pushing the Word of God. Yes. So they feel shame in the good things, the righteous things, things of God, but no shame when it comes to perversion. No shame when it comes to wickedness. That just tells you who they are. So to replace Biden with anybody is just going from one level of perversion to another level of perversion, from one level of crazy to another level of crazy. So it doesn't matter who it is. Don't hold your breath, ladies and gentlemen, because no matter who it is, they're going to be just as wicked and maybe even more wicked. Because an old man with dementia, he can only do so much. But a Gavin Newsom, who's just as wicked, maybe even more wicked and somewhat sharp, or a Michelle Obama or a Hillary, yeah, these people are extremely wicked. And if you think Joe did some bad things or some crazy things, you just wait till one of those knuckleheads get in there. And I pray to God it never happens. I really do. So ladies and gentlemen, keep praying, keep moving, keep standing up for righteousness. Let your voice be heard. Really, truly, let your voice be heard. Because the only way we're going to take back this country is let our voice be heard and stand up for righteousness and demand it. Not just hope for it, demand it. Until we meet again, ladies and gentlemen, God bless you all. Thank you for joining us at Table Flippers. Table Flippers Podcast is a ministry of Greater Works Christian Church in Lancaster, California. You can find us on the web. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. Look for us at Greater Works Christian Church or Table Flippers. I hope to see you soon.